Welcome to the Mentoring Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Jans.
Before we get started, I want to put in a plug for the National Mentoring Symposium. This is a conference held November 2nd to November 4th in Banff, Alberta. It's going to be a very informative and exciting event. If you work with youth, if you work with young people, if you work with our Indigenous partners, you'll want to be there. The keynote speakers are incredible. We have Susan Aglukart, we have Nancy Mannix, David Irvine, Dr. Martin Brokenleg. This is a very special event, and you can register now by going to www.nmsevent.ca. We'll put the link in the show notes. We really think you should sign up, book your room, reserve a spot now. It's going to be a very popular event with a lot of information if you're in the mentoring field that you won't want to miss. So today we have a special partner with us. We have Caroline Missel. Welcome to the podcast, Caroline.
Thank you.
Excellent. And you yourself are an educator.
I am. So I'm actually a principal seconded from Edmonton Public to Alberta Education.
And what was your experience like as a principal?
Loved it. So principal in four different schools, all of them in fairly high needs areas of the city. And in all four schools, I had the luxury of in some inheriting mentoring programs and in one setting one up. So I was very fortunate and got to see firsthand the benefits of mentoring.
So in the schools, you had experience with mentoring, you had seen how successful the programs were, and then you, you're now working as a leadership team member at the Alberta Mentoring Partnership.
Right. So I work in the school and community supports for children and youth branch for Alberta Education, and primarily my work is around mentoring in schools and supporting the work of the Alberta Mentoring Partnership.
And you yourself, outside of work, you're also a mentor.
I am. I mentor a young woman who was in care for most of her life.
Yeah, that's great. So you have indicated that you're working on many different tools for educators. You yourself have been an educator, and you you've seen what a difference it makes in your school community. So what have you seen that the Alberta Mentoring Partnership has to offer for educators?
There's lots of resources. So resources for mentoring through an organization like Big Brothers Big Sisters, and also resources for more informal kinds of mentoring. So if schools want to pair up with community or with another school and create their own mentoring project or initiative, there's lots of resources to support that as well.
I understand we also have a Career and Technology Studies course, the CTS course.
Yeah, so there were CTS courses, Career and Technology Studies, were developed about 5 years ago now. There's 5 one-credit modules that are available for high school students to take.
So how does a teacher, if they're interested in getting the CTS course at their school, how do they go about doing that?
Well, if your school doesn't already offer the CTS courses, probably the best course of action is to talk to your Career and Technology Studies department head, if you have one. If not, probably a school administrator, to talk to them about your interest in the course. They may or may not be aware that that course exists, and that would be the best starting place.
So this course is something separate than the in-school mentoring program that some schools have with Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Yes, although some of the Career and Technology Studies courses are also, they have a partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters, but you do not have to have that partnership to be able to offer the courses. So if you have a Big Brothers Big Sisters and they have some in-school mentoring in the community that you live in, you can partner with them. You can also offer the courses without that.
So this course is only available to high schools as it is a CTS course?
Right. So students would get credits for it in high school.
And I saw on the website we have some other resources available for high school students, including an educator's toolkit. Where else should a teacher go to get resources?
Well, if you're offering the CTS courses, there are other resources on Learn Alberta's Tools for Teachers website. If you're doing more informal mentoring, or if you're in an elementary or a junior high school where you don't have the Career and Technology Studies courses, There are lots of good resources available on the Alberta Mentoring Partnership website. So there's the Framework for Building Mentoring Relationships in Schools, which is a really good starting place. There's the Teen Mentoring Toolkit, which has all kinds of resources and templates for different things that you may need, like permission forms and all of those kinds of the paperworky piece. There's the Mentoring Matters, which are some, they're not really lesson plans, they're more activities that are around mentoring from a mental health perspective. There are materials on strength-based practices and strength-based resources. And there's also the High School Mentoring Handbook and Activity Book, which are actually the materials that are used most often in the Career and Technology Studies courses.
Is there a charge for these materials?
No, they're offered free of charge, and you can download them from the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. If you want hard copies of the High School Mentoring Handbook and Activity Book, you can get those through Advanced Education.
So if you're an elementary or junior high teacher and you have you believe a mentoring program would be valuable to your school, how should you proceed?
Again, I would start by thinking about why you think that a mentoring program or a mentoring initiative would be beneficial to your school, and start in your head to make a little case for that. And then, you know, to do any of those things, you're going to need support from your school administration. So then take your plan to your school administrator and start there. And once you have that support, then you can look for either, if you're in elementary school and you're looking for older students to mentor yours, you can look for a school to partner up with, or perhaps some community organization. There are some really neat mentoring relationships between seniors centers and elementary schools and junior high schools. So think about who's in your community, what other schools are available, then you can approach them about helping out and getting involved in creating your own kind of program or initiative.
That's awesome. So you've met with and supported teachers around Alberta in your role. What are some of the success stories that come to mind of the use of these mentoring programs?
Well, I think that there's lots of benefits to the mentees that we see. We see things like increased attendance, increased connectedness to school, increases in self-confidence and self-esteem. Depending what the focus of the mentoring time is, we can also see increases in literacy. So if reading together is what the mentor and the mentee are doing, we see lots of that. We see an increase in their social skills and their ability to carry on conversations and those kinds of things. So those are the types of benefits that we see in the mentees of all ages. When you have students mentoring other students, older students mentoring younger students, we see very similar benefits for the mentors in those cases too. So often the students who are doing the mentoring are more engaged in their school. They feel a greater sense of connectedness. They too increase their self-confidence and self-esteem. Often if you have a high school or a junior high student that's not a strong reader, but they're partnered with a child in grade one or grade two, they can read those books. And those kids love hearing those stories read to them. And it really gives those older students a boost in their confidence and their ability to make a difference.
So when you hear about a school or an organization that is finding this challenging, what are some of the common barriers people talk about to starting a mentoring program?
I think some of it is just getting it off the ground. And while it is a relatively low cost initiative and intervention in some cases, it does take time. So there's that finding the time for somebody to coordinate it. So that's a piece of the puzzle. Sometimes transportation is a bit of an issue. If you have the luxury of being in a K-9 school, you're right there. It's very easy. But sometimes that getting from one school to another can be a barrier. Sometimes you can walk, sometimes not. So sometimes there's some creativity that's needed in figuring out what that's going to look like. How are the mentors going to get to the mentees or vice versa? So those are some of the biggest, I would say, barriers that we found.
You mentioned the success of some senior centers or some community partners coming into schools and helping the youngsters with their learning. What are some of the permissions processes or assurances that the schools have to go through to get a program like that up mm-hmm. and running?
It generally would be the same process that schools would use anytime they have anybody volunteering with students. So the same level of security checking and those kinds of things would be involved most often, depending on what it's going to look like. And, you know, if those mentors are going to be spending time alone with the mentees, or if it's more of a group situation that's supervised. So again, it would pretty much be whatever protocols and checks and balances schools have in place for their volunteers would apply to this as well.
So more and more today, when we're talking about high school completion, when we're talking about supporting our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit students, when we're talking about many of the socioeconomically challenged students that are in our education system, there's talk about how mentoring can really support these kids. Where do you see mentoring going in schools in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think in Alberta, mentoring really supports the recent changes to the School Act. It definitely supports the idea of a welcoming, caring, respectful, and safe learning environment. So I think that we're going to see more and more mentoring, as it's evidence-based. It's an evidence-based practice that is effective for both mentees and mentors. And I do believe that it does engage students. And I think when we're looking at who are going to be our mentors, if we're looking at high school mentors or junior high mentors with younger kids, I think we need to really look at who are we choosing to do that. Because sometimes some of the students that we may not go to first, we see the biggest benefits to in the long run when we pick some of our maybe unlikely leaders to be our mentors.
That's a really good point. So if you were talking to a principal or somebody who's on the fence about starting a program like this in their school, what advice would you have for them?
Well, I think I would definitely advise them to try it. Give it a try, see what happens. Think about where it could benefit your school. Think about what outcomes are you hoping for, and plan around that and try it for a year and see what happens.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. In the show notes, we will link the resources you spoke of from the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, from Alberta Education. And are you aware of other resources that would be handy to teachers that we should share?
Those are probably the two most useful websites, particularly for the Alberta context. And the Alberta Mentoring Partnership website too also has the online mentor training and mentee training. And so that's really helpful as well to use with even your students that are going to be mentoring, or as your students that are going to be the mentees.
Thank you very much for your time today, Caroline. We'll certainly look at the website and we'll look at the resources that you've showcased. And we encourage all listeners to visit www.albertamentors.ca to learn more.